The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Stephen Powell, Chris Pimlott and Darren Owen in the studio. It's Ludlow, Nottingham and Toaster on Wednesday afternoon, and we have all weather action in the evening from Kempton. So four meetings to look ahead to, plenty to go out. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is William Hill Radio's Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Hello, mate. Yeah, I'm good.
Good. Well, we've just come off the back of a pretty spectacular weekend, Andy. Now the dust's settled on it all. What stood out for you last weekend?
I didn't watch any of it. I didn't watch the Ark day. I had a day off.
Oh, in that case.
I saw the Ark, That looked a great race. And obviously, the Butch talked about Philly, won it again. Tremendous performance. And obviously, one or two in behind ran quite well in defeat, including Kingston Hill from a bad draw.
Yeah.
He ran a blinder. I can see in the ground, it was too quick. He got drawn 20-20.
Yeah.
And he looks as though he's going to stay in training. He might run towards the back end of the season, mind, if the ground comes up soft on Champions Day. But it looks a vintage arc, wide open, and one in good start by a filly now who I think is going to be retired, isn't she?
Yeah, she is now. There was a little bit of debate about it after the race, I think, but she's going to be retired because she's so fragile. I think it's quite as if she'd been sound, I would have considered going for a third arc, but she's a bit fragile, isn't she?
She's obviously had one or two problems and then managed to get her back when it mattered. But the rest of the card, I know the results, I didn't see any of the racing. I've got it all on tape to watch, and because I've come here Monday, Tuesday, it's meant that I haven't had a chance to watch the replays. Monday morning I just did all the form for Monday's cards and thought, well, I'll review it when I get back. I'll probably do it tomorrow morning and go through all the other races. So I can't really comment on how they ran. And it wasn't a great surprise that I sort of found one.
I was going to say, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on found when you watch it back.
She looked a nice filly, didn't she, when she won on debut. And she went from a maiden at the Curra to then running the Moyglare. And that Moyglare looks sensational, doesn't it? Cursory Glance and Found.
Yep.
Malabar ran in it. And there was another one in it. I'm sure there's been another win out of that race as well. But the two Group Ones this season for fillies have worked out really well. The York race, the Lowther, Tiggy Wiggy's race, and Cursory Glance. The Moyglare looks good, solid form for next season going forward.
He does, don't I? Just a bit of news to talk about as well before we move on. Frankie Dettori signed a new deal with Al Shakab Racing, so that's going to continue. I suppose that's a bit of a boost for him. I mean, he had a great success on Olympic Glory, didn't he? And obviously missed the ride on Trieve, so. Good to see that everything's still happy in that camp.
Yeah, I think he's been quite magnanimous about it, to be honest. He could have easily rubbed him up the wrong way, but I think he's took it quite well because he's become now a team player. It's not all about Frankie, is it? It's about what's best for the yard and what's best for the horses. And although it seemed a bit of a queer decision at the time, it ended up being absolutely spot on by all concerned. But Frankie's still a big link in the chain, isn't he? He rode Olympic Glory to victory in that Group One, coming from last to first, and he hasn't put too many foot wrong this season with the horses he's ridden for that setup. So onwards and upwards, and he's got a lot of nice young horses to ride as well next season.
Yeah, some nice horses to ride next season.
Hopefully including the Wow Signal, of course, as now Scope Dirty, and that was the reason for his modest run in the Prix Jean de Luc Lagardère.
Yeah. Well, it obviously wasn't his running, was it? He faded very quickly. So.
Yeah, it was a big shock to me when I found out that he'd finished last of nine. But you think, well, last of nine, you'd rather him finish last of nine than fourth or fifth, because you think, well,
it's obviously
that's
not right.
As good as he is. But, he can't go from winning two Group Ones to finish last of nine without something being wrong with him.
Exactly, and that's proved to be the case. Yep. So hopefully he'll be back fitting well and exciting for next year.
Yep.
Let's just have a quick talk about Champions Day, Andy, as well, because that's not too far away. We're likely to get soft ground for Champions Day, but in terms of the horses going there, is anything on your radar at the moment?
Yeah, it depends on the ground, of course. You mentioned that we might likely to get soft ground. I'll be very keen on the horse, the sprinter, Lightning Moon.
Yeah.
He did a phenomenal time. It, by far and away, the fastest furlong per furlong number that I got at Ascot the other day. And looking at the way that that category is just shaping up at the moment, you know, you've got obviously G-Force, who's the standout, but he's got to be supplemented. Not sure how he'll get on genuinely soft ground. Soul Power wouldn't want the ground soft. Gordon Lord, barring nowadays, very durable, but probably seems to be better over maybe seven, arguably. Marek doesn't look to be the force that he was, albeit no. The ground might be okay for him. Tropics definitely won't want the ground soft. I think Lightning Moon, he's already proven over the track.
Yep.
He's had three runs. He's still on the improve, and I think there's more to come from him. His times wouldn't puts him banging on. I mean, he's the fastest sprinter I've got this season on those figures at Ascot.
Fair enough. That's impressive.
I think he's 10-1. He's a massive, massive prize, and he's a definite runner as well.
Yeah. Ed Walker's unbeaten colt, isn't he?
But he looks a very exciting horse.
Yeah.
Like if I had to give the listeners one horse to have a few quid on now and seal the price and get a good position before sort of like the decks work themselves out and who's going to run where, I think Lightning Moon at 10-1 is a must.
Okay. 8-1 with us.
8-1, yeah.
Lightning Moon.
Yeah, still fourth. A decent price.
Still a good price, yeah. Each way price. Right. Anything else for Champions Day?
Yeah, well, obviously Free Eagle Australia. That looks to be one of the big clashes. I'd prefer Free Eagle just because I think he's had a lighter campaign. He'll come into the race fresh. We know that Dermot Weld likes to target this meeting. He had a winner there last year, didn't he? Series de Longlo will obviously be a player. And, you know, horses like Western Him coming to the equation on soft ground. But it won't stop Free Eagle. He's already performed well with a bit of cut in the ground. I don't think it'd be too bad anyway, Ascot. Either way, which we look at it. The handicaps look difficult. But yeah, that obviously the races we're betting at the moment, those are the two standout races, Free Eagle in the Champion Stakes and Lightning Moon in the sprint.
Yeah. Just a quick mention of Cirrus Zegler in there as well. I mean, he won the race and then was demoted in Longchamp. Any rain would suit him, wouldn't it? So
yeah.
Could you see him getting involved even though he's knocking on a bit now?
Well, he likes Ascot and he's run well there in big races such as this before. I thought he was a bit unlucky really to get kicked out the other day. I know technically in France that was a misdemeanour which warranted you being... to lose the race, but to be demoted to fifth was an absolute kick in the Watts's, wasn't it?
He was definitely the
second best horse, if nothing else. But how he went from first to fifth, I do not know.
He only really interfered with the second, didn't he?
That the French rules are just ridiculous. That they're completely the other way. They're not even like there's no somewhere in between.
No,
it's just right. You touch another horse and that's it. You're gone.
Yeah,
I just think this preposterous and. Our rules have been slated before, and I think we've probably pretty much got it right. I think there's a lot of flexibility and common sense comes into ours.
Yeah. It's not often over here that we get a massive glaring error, is it?
No.
You look over there and some of the results leave you a bit puzzled.
We've had a few dubious ones, but none more so than that.
No.
Cirrus de Zegler incident. And, you know, the Glen Eagles one as well wasn't... I think he would have struggled to lose that over here as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the no-nonsense stewards over there, are they? Just straight out. Just
that's
gone.
That's it, yep.
Anything else in the news, or should we move on to Wednesday?
Yeah, we'll have a look at Wednesdays. There's a couple of interesting runners I've got mapped out.
Okay, good stuff. Well, Andy's picked out three races for us. A couple of them are at Nottingham and one of them from Kempton, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, starting in the 5:25 at Nottingham, this is a Class 4 handicap for 3-year-olds and older, and it's over a mile and a quarter, 14 of them in the lineup. But you've picked a nice competitive one to start with.
I have, yeah. Despite the competitive nature of the race, and in there the likes of Principal Equation, Red One Away, and obviously Tercel, I'll be a big fan of this Beltor, who's just had the one run this season as a 3-year-old. But in keeping with many of Sir Mark's, looked at a real improved stay when he won at Redcar, lowly race at Redcar, and he rated 71. And even though he only won a neck, he's been put up just to £5. But I thought his superiority was far greater than that. But it was the time of the race which is the big highlighting factor there. They went a really good gallop. There was no prisoners. Valentine Oyster, the runner-up, Valentino Oyster, served it up from an early stage. And he actually runs to that category, so I'm interested to see how he goes. Graham might have gone a bit too soft for him today, as we speak, obviously prior to the Catrick running. But if he runs okay, along with Save the Bees, who are also running that race that finished fourth, then I'll be looking for that form to be boosted in some way. The third horse has won. Landed a bit of a punt the other day at Newcastle. A horse called, begins with an E, Elusive Waters, Exclusive Waters, who landed a bit of a punt for connections. So I think that form is rock solid, and you know that this horse, like many of some marks, are going to improve again. So take a good horse to beat that very well handicapped Beltor.
Okay. Beltor, the selection then, in the 5.25. Staying at Nottingham for the next race. This is the 6 o'clock, and this is a Class 5 apprentice handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's for three-year-olds and older. 16 of them in the lineup. Doesn't look the easiest puzzle to solve, Andy. So what's caught your eye in here?
Yeah, there's an interesting run in this race. His form figures don't read all that great, and you think, I've lost my marbles tip in this. a horse trained by Martin Mead called Zaliman. He's run three races on the all-weather, which have all been races which he literally could not win. It looks as though Martin Mead's obviously laid him out to get him handicapped. He come from France, where all his three races were on a soft surface. Then he's running three times on the all-weather. First time he got beat 13 lengths by Tenor, but of course we know how good Tenor is, and anything that's ran reasonably well against Tenor has to be upgraded. Then they dropped him back to six furlongs next time out. A gelded by Zamindar running over six furlongs, quite preposterous. And then they ran him in one of those wait for age races at Lingfield, a race again he couldn't win. He was carrying 9 stone 13 against the 3-year-olds, and in one of the strongest run all weather maidens over a mile and a half I got all season at Lingfield, he was at quite a good creditable seventh behind Space Lab, who went on to run really well off a mark of 80 next time out at Goodwood, just failed to beat Serena Gray. Rembrandt Van Ridge, the second horse, should have won the other day at Wolverhampton, but obviously unseated Shane Kelly, who rather foolishly decided to whip the horse down their face and down their neck. No wonder he got unshipped. He got what he deserved there. Glorious Sun, the fifth horse, won quite easily the day when he went back to Kempton. And Saruti, the sixth horse, he finished third behind Tajib the other day when he went back to Lingfield. So this is really hot form. Mm. The time of the race suggested it was a good race. He technically raced off a mark of 70 that day, but I got him racing or running a time in keeping with a 70-plus horse. Subsequently, the handicap has dropped him to a mark of 67.
Yeah.
And now he's racing on soft ground for the first time again. So I think Martin Mead's done a really good job with this horse. He's got him handicapped. He seems a nice horse. His time at Lingfield was, like I say, relative to horses, much better than his grade. And, you know, he was trying to give £13 to some useful three-year-olds. But now he's in his proper handicap company that he should be running against. And I think he could be interesting tomorrow.
Yeah, he should be a big price, won't he? I imagine.
Hopefully, yeah.
Interesting, good stuff. So that's
didn't expect that, did you?
I didn't. I wouldn't have found that for anyway. You could have given me 16 goals at the race, and I still wouldn't have got that.
Yep.
moving on to the 7:55.
Bit of an anorak's tip, that one.
It was, yeah. It's well played. 7:55 at Kempton next up then, and this is a London Middle Distance Series qualifier. It's a Class 4 handicap over a mile and three furlongs for three-year-olds and older, and 10 of them in the lineup for this one. And I suppose Clear Mind's quite interesting for John Gosden. Only had the two starts, got off the mark at Lingfield last time. Could you see him improving again here?
Yeah, he'd be on my shortlist here. Whether he's quite got the experience to cope with a race like this, I don't know, but his time when he won in Lingfield was a good one. The race hasn't worked out as well as I thought it would for such a strongly run race. Horses down the line have kind of ruined the shape of the race subsequently, so I'd probably just slightly pass him over in favour of Master Paver, who would be my selection here. I'd certainly respect the likes of Alma Zem and Hoist the Colours, who have got really good all-weather form and they come out well in the figures, but Master Paver's bound to be there or thereabouts. His last two runs are really good on the numbers, both here at Kempton over course and distance. Second to Anglo-Irish, two starts ago, and then I backed him each way the other night and he just got nutted late on by a horse who clearly is an all-weather specialist in the shape of Dari. And they pull well clear of the rest at a good time. So I'm pretty confident that if we can get an east way price about Master Paver, he's going to give us another good run for our money.
Yeah, and he loves it at Kempton, doesn't
he? Loves it at Kempton. He's hardly ever out the frame there.
No. Okay, Master Paver then looks a pretty solid one in the 7:55. Let's just have a quick summary, Andy, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Okay, the last two races at Nottingham produced my first two tips. Beltor, off the back of a good time first time at Redcar, he still looks well handicapped off 76. Take a bit of a punt that Zaliman is that each way, is that handicap project that I've been flagging up. Hopefully, nobody's listening to the podcast for that one. and the prices don't vanish overnight. And Master Paver looks, to all intents and purposes, a real good each-way strike place only opportunity in that 7.55.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck with your selections and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Well, do. Thanks, bud.
So there you go, the thoughts of Andy Holding on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1.50pm with Stephen Powell, Chris Pimlott and Darren Owen in the studio. It's Ludlow, Nottingham and Toaster on Wednesday afternoon and then Kempton in the evening. So four meetings to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.